Our scripture lesson today, of course, comes from Luke 2. I don't care how many times you've heard it this morning or how many times you will hear it, you're going to hear the scripture lesson today again, because what do we stand in front of? The birth of Christ. Only I'm going to put a wrinkle in it. This Bible, printed in 1947, was numbered amongst my grandfather's collection. And so while you search for Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read down through it past the shepherds, I'm going to read from the King James Version. We don't often hear those words anymore, but as we stand in front of Christmas, it is very poetic, a very poetic styling. And so I thought it proper this morning that we hear the words from the King James Version. And I like how this book starts off. It says, "The Holy Bible, containing the Old and New Testament, translated out of the original tongues and with the former translations, diligently compared and revised, set forth in 1611. Now, this book was, I'm thinking, published in 1947 by what I found. And I would ask that if you're able to today, for God's reading, for this word, that you would stand and follow along with me from the words of Luke chapter 2. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went out to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And an angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all the things they heard, it wondered at those things which was told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." May God add his blessings to this passage, this magic scripture, this love, this story. Would you please join with me in prayer? Father, as we stand before you, as we prepare to receive this message, let it be known that these are your words. Let them strengthen us. Let them heal us. Let them remind us. Let it be that takes us from here today, strengthening us for the world abroad, being ever more ready to shine the light of Jesus, for whom we believe. In his name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Snow, ice, finally, the sun. It represents a trip, doesn't it? It represents a waiting, a long period of time through a lot of turmoil. As you recently know, we, in the goodness of our brains, my wife and I decided we were going to take that long trip down to Florida and take the children with us and pack them into a car and drive straight through, leaving Baltimore at sometime around 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. We would not stop until we backed into the driveway in Tampa, Florida. My wife went to college. She's got a Bachelor of Arts degree. I didn't go to college, but at times I'm kind of smart. And I've got to tell you, I don't know what we were thinking. I'll guarantee you the next time we will be on a jet airplane. And in 2 hours, we will be in Florida. We ain't doing that again. Because for as bad as the trip down was, through the night, on the way back, my brilliant wife and I decided we didn't like what the GPS said, that we were smarter, and we made our own trip and got lost in Georgia. But we saw a lot of cotton. As a matter of fact, I wanted to stop and pick some cotton as a souvenir, and my wife reminded me that I'm a preacher and that that would be stealing. And I said, but if the car runs off the edge of the road and hits them and they fall out in the road, isn't that the same thing? It's the trip that makes the end so much more powerful. We ain't been here for 2 Sundays. One Sunday it snowed. One Sunday it left us with the possibility of ice. When asked why, I said, because it is my job to protect you. And I will. Period. But we got here today. Through the snow, through the turmoil, through the ice, through the trouble, we come here today to celebrate. We come here today to contemplate. We have spent a lot of time getting ready for a whole lot of things. I have done a small bit of shopping. Now, as we all well know, I think shopping should start and end of one of two stores, the grocery store or Tractor Supply. There ain't nowhere else, no other store on the face of this earth that a man needs. He needs a grocery store. He needs a Tractor Supply. If you want to know what I think would be the definition of a miracle, is if they put a grocery store in Tractor Supply. I'd never go anywhere else. Hun, can you stop by the Tractor store and pick up eggs? You got it. I don't do well shopping. I don't like being bumped into. I don't like a lot of people around me. I don't handle this well. It's not my place. But I've been out doing some shopping and getting preparations and getting madder and talking about all the things we got to do. You know, we got to drive to West Virginia this year because her father doesn't live on the Eastern Shore, which suits me well, because if we get to drive to West Virginia, there's a whole lot of undiscovered tractor country up there. In those moments, brothers and sisters, we forget where we're at. We forget the sun is coming. Make no mistake about it. It's not just a celebration of Christmas Day. It's not just a celebration of the fact that he was born. It is a celebration he was born. After everything that's going on, Jesus Christ is born. Charles Swindoll had this to say, and I love this. Take the year 1809. The international scene was tumultuous. Napoleon was sweeping through Austria. Blood was flowing freely. Nobody cared about babies in 1807. But the world was overlooking some terribly significant births. The year 1807. For example, William Gladstone was born that year. He was destined to become one of England's finest statesmen. That same year, Alfred Tennyson was born to an obscure minister and his wife. That child would one day greatly affect the literary world. On the American continent, Oliver Wendell Holmes would be born in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and not far away in Boston, Edgar Allan Poe would be born, which would be an albeit tragic life, but nonetheless it would leave us affected. That same year, a physician named Darwin and his wife named their child Charles Robert, and you know what kind of effect Charles Darwin has left on this world forever. in the year of 1807, and somewhere in the backcountry woods, in a house with a dirt floor, a little baby cried out after having just been born to dirt poor parents in a little old cabin in Hardin, Kentucky. The soon-to-be President Abraham Lincoln was born in 1807. Now, I'm sure, Chuck goes on to say, if there had been any news broadcasts at that time, how many people in here watch the news? What's the thing that you see on the news? Aggravation, trouble, turmoil. If you've been watching the news lately, and I said I wouldn't go here, but unfortunately that train is already leaving the station, you see that the great Phil Robertson, speaking truth, is now dominating the news. But Chuck Swindoll says, had there been a news broadcast at that time, I'm certain these words would have been heard. The destiny of the world is being shaped on the Austrian battlefield today. But historically speaking, it was actually being shaped in the cradles of England and America. And similarly, everyone thought that taxation was the big news. Do you remember? And there was a decree sent out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. When Jesus was born, but a young Jewish woman cradled the biggest news of all, the birth of a Savior. In the middle of all this tumult, in the middle of all this turmoil, in the middle of all this trouble, he's born. We often forget that. I'm as guilty of it, probably more so than most people. I get lost in the Christmas season. I have a whole stack of Christmas Carol movies that I love to watch, and I have seen all of them. And I'm to the point now where one of these days I'm going to make my own movie called The End of a Christmas Carol, and I'm just going to go right down there to the end when he falls out of bed and just do every single ending of that movie on one time so I can just sit there and cry myself into a snotted up fit and get it all done at once. Because I love every time when he bursts that window open and he says, let me try my English accent, he goes, "You there, boy, what day is this?" "What say ye?" "I say, what day is this?" "Well, it'd be Christmas Day, Governor." Oh, they did it. The spirits did it. And I can't dance like that because I'm fat. But he dances around. He gets it. He understands it. It has nothing to do with anything except the birth of Jesus Christ. I love that ending of that movie. And there's a couple different ways it ends. My favorite version is when he finally goes to Fred's house, his nephew, his only living relative, Franny's kid. And the servant lets him in the house. And he always steps through the door looking like a man that has been completely torn down. And he says, "Do you have a place for me?" And they surround him with a love that is only generated by knowing Christmas. After the turmoil comes the sin. Jesus is about to be born to take away that sin. Say it with me. I believe in the birth of Jesus. Say it. I believe in the birth of Jesus. No, you're not saying it loud enough because I can still hear myself. I believe
in the birth of Jesus.
You know you are in the minority. You know that, don't you? As this world starts to press down more and more, it has become more about materialism. Donald Defner in 1992 put this out in a sermon illustration that a television interviewer was walking the streets of Tokyo in Christmas time. And of course, like America, Tokyo, Japan is all about the commercialism of it. And they really go over the top. The interviewer stopped one young woman on the sidewalk and asked, "What is the meaning of Christmas?" And she laughed at him and she looked at him. She goes, "I don't know. Isn't that the day that Jesus died?" There is a lot of truth in that answer, he goes on to say. When we forget that Christmas Day is about the sun, then we have forgotten Christmas. Garnet Myers this past Tuesday brought forth a very interesting observation about the coming of the Son. It says in the Bible that she laid him in swaddling clothes. That means they were strips of linen. If you were there, you heard him say, she laid him in the clothes that he would one day die in. Got me right here. Because if you miss it, Jesus Christ was born to what? To die for us. It even says right there in the scripture, and unto this day a Savior is born. It doesn't say King. It doesn't say Uniter of the world. It says a Savior. And we know that in order to save, there must be sacrifice. Jesus came forth for that reason. I get wound up at this time of year when I see the words Merry Xmas and Happy Holidays. I wish I was the sign police and I could go around and put Christ right on the front of the X, and wherever it's Happy Holidays, put Merry Christmas, because it's not a holiday, it's Christmas. We get the day off just simply because that's how it is. It's not that. It is the day to remember that finally the Son has come. That's all we need, ain't it? Now, I love getting gifts. Let me just make sure we understand each other. I love getting them. I love giving them. I am hoping that one day we have a house big enough that the tree will be big enough that when I come down on Christmas morning, Santa Claus will have left me under the tree the following, and in no particular order, a Henry rifle. It hasn't happened yet. At least two tractors, one of which being a Rolly oil pull, and not the models again. Some people in my house think it's funny to put the little toys underneath the tree. I want the full size. And just because it's Christmas and let's wish big, I want a full-size operating steam locomotive. Going to need a big house, right? I get lost in it too. But it's not what we need. That's what we want. What we only need is the Son. There is a story that Pastor Clifford Stewart of Louisville, Kentucky, sent his parents, back when they first come out, sent his aging parents a microwave oven one year for Christmas. And here's how he recalls the experience. I love this story. He said they were excited that they now, too, could be part of the instant generation. You know, boop, 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 boop. When I first got my microwave, I cooked so much stuff in that thing, I thought I was going to glow. My dad unplugged the microwave and plugged it in. Literally within seconds, the microwave transformed two smiles into a frown, even after reading the directions. They couldn't make it work. 2 days later, my mama was playing bridge with a friend and confessed her inability to get that microwave oven to even so much as boil water. To get that darn thing to work, she exclaimed, I don't need better directions. I just needed my Son to come along with the gift. When God gave us the gift of salvation, He didn't send us a booklet of complicated instructions for us to figure out. He sent His Son. And finally, the Son. He sent us exactly what we need. If we had needed to know all the world's mathematical problems, He would have sent us a great mathematician. If we had needed to solve the problems of the environment, He'd have sent us a great scientist. If we had needed to know how to generate wealth untold, He would have sent us a banker. What we needed was to be saved from the sin that we are racked with, and He sent us a Savior. Amen. Amen. That's what we've got coming. Again, that's what we are preparing for. I heard a pastor on the radio the other day say that Christmas and celebrating it ain't just about celebrating its birth. It's about celebrating the second coming. I like that. Because not only do we look at the fact that He was born, we look at the fact that He was born, died, and is coming again. And unfortunately, as hard as I try to stop certain things, if you've known me long enough, once I get on a roll, I can't pull the throttle back. He gave us the whole reason that we'll see her again. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is raise up that belief and keep it close. And how does that belief start? Remembering that Christmas is the celebration after the snow, the turmoil, after the ice, the trouble, after all things, finally comes the Son, and we are saved. Amen! Praise God for Christmas. Praise Him for the incarnation, for the Word made flesh. I will not sing of the shepherds watching their flocks on frosty nights or angel choristers. I will not sing of a stable bear in Bethlehem or lowing oxen, wise men trailing star with gold, frankincense of myrrh. Tonight, I will sing praise to the Father who stood on heaven's threshold and said farewell to His Son as He stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And I will sing praise to the infinite, eternal Son who became most finite, a baby, who would one day be executed for my crime. Praise Him in the heavens. Praise Him in the stable. Praise Him in the heart. A poem by Joseph Bailey. I encourage you, as this day fast approaches, and believe you me, it's coming fast. I have two kids who are reminding me, I'm thinking that they're going to start counting down the hours before it's too much longer. The Ecksteins, you have four grandchildren. I cannot begin to imagine what those households are going to be like. And all of you around that have grandchildren or children, you have five grandchildren. Oh my goodness. It's coming. It will not stop. The snow, the ice, the world cannot stop the remembrance of the birth of Jesus Christ. Regardless of what they try to do, regardless of how much stupidity there is finally, when it all clears, the what? The Son. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, you gave us a great and tremendous gift. And you lifted us up as such. You brought us forth from the muck and the mire and the destruction that is ourselves. The fact that we think we can rely on us and not some church. You broke all that when you broke through with Jesus. We can only rely on Him. And so we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We look toward the birth of Jesus Christ. We look toward that moment when finally the Son appeared and we can celebrate it over and over and over again. And let us not forget that is the reason that Jesus Christ needs to be put out in front. That nothing else we do, nothing compares to that gift. I pray that as we bind together in family on Christmas Day or wherever that moment may be, that we take a moment with our loved ones and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for letting Him be born. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In the richness and fullness of the Spirit, let us be at that point. That after the snow and the ice, we finally have the Son. Amen. You know, long ago, there lived and ruled in Persia a wise and good king. I love this story. He loved his people. He wanted to know how they lived. He wanted to know about their hardships. Often he dressed in the clothes of a working man or a beggar and went to the homes of the poor. Not one whom he visited thought that he was their ruler. One time he visited a very poor man who lived in a cellar. He ate the coarse food that the poor man ate. He spoke cheerful, kind words to him, then left. Later, he visited the poor man again and disclosed his identity to him by saying, I am your king. The king thought the man would surely ask for some gift or favor, but he didn't. Instead, he said, you left your palace and your glory to visit me in this dark, dreary place. You ate the coarse food I ate. You brought gladness to my heart. To others, you have given rich gifts, but to me, you have given yourself. The King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself to you and me. The Bible calls him the unspeakable gift. Brothers and sisters, as we prepare for this last hymn, if you need to strengthen, the prayer bench is open. But I remind you, on December 25th, we have the greatest gift of all. Amen.
Amen. Please turn to page 253 and stand. Silent night. Now look at here. We're going to sing the first verse of Silent Night without the organ. Because you see, that song was written in Germany a long time ago because they didn't have an organ. And oftentimes we sing that song, we don't hear it. But today we're going to hear it and we're going to listen to the very first verse. Y'all don't need your books, everybody knows it. We're going to sing Silent Night, Linda.
Silent night.
Put your heart in it.
Holy night.
Come on, bring it out. Sisters, that's Christmas. Now I pray the grace upon each and every one of you as we depart from here today. We take with us heavy thoughts, but we also take with us great and light thoughts. As we remember that time that is about to approach for the birth of your Son, Jesus. Father, watch over and keep and protect us as we go from here, giving us strength to walk and making that path ever set for us, that you would guide us through, regardless, knowing that after the snow and ice, finally comes the sun. Now I pray upon you, each and every one, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen.